fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome, everybody. This is Fantasy Football Today on Wednesday, October 5th. I'm Adam Azer. With Dave Richard and I almost called you Jamie Eisenberg. It's a force of habit, Heath. I'm sorry. Are you offended?
I'm not even sure I'm going to talk.
Oh, come on. I've been doing this for like 7 years with them. It's not personal.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so Jamie's not on today. Here's the deal, everybody. Here's the deal. Hurricane Matthew is approaching. That's Hurricane Matthew there. It's approaching South Florida. Thank you, Matthew. We have work today, and we're doing this show. All right, stop. It's almost certain. What are these, hurricane warning signs?
Yes.
Okay. It's almost certain that our office will not be open on Thursday, so I don't expect a Thursday show. I'm hopeful for Friday, but it could very well not happen. So this might be the last show we do this week. Of course, we'll be back on Monday, but hopefully Thursday, hopefully Friday.
I hope we're back Monday.
Oh, you don't, yeah. But prepare for this to be your start or sit show. We're going to do everything we can to help you out. We usually cram into two shows. We'll try to cram into one. We're also going to do a little bit of rest of season rankings. Check the website, cbsports.com/fantasy. There's plenty of content there. Fantasy football today. There will be a Sunday show. Listen to our Fantasy Basketball Today podcast if you're getting into that. It's preseason started. And, of course, we have Ion Fantasy Football, our radio show on Saturday night. That we can help you out with your lineup as well. Ion Fantasy Football, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern until midnight on CBS Sports Radio. So, fellas, we are going to, just kind of get to it today a little bit. But I want to have some fun. Here's a tweet of the day. I responded to Mike, his tweet is tweet of the day, with a hell no. I want to know how you guys feel. Fantasy football etiquette question. I need a tight end this week. My buddy needs a running back. Is it okay to trade Eifert for Sims and then do the same trade next week?
It's probably frowned upon. Here's what I don't get. Because my immediate response is no, that's not okay. And I know if it was just to help one owner, it's definitely not okay. But if I'm helping my team with this trade, it's not collusion. It's not collusion because
it's wrong.
I'm making the trade for me and he's making the trade for him.
Let me ask you a question.
Like I know why we frown on this, but I don't know that I know why.
Let's say you make the trade. I trade you Tyler Eifert, you give me Charles Sims.
Right.
Charles Sims gets hurt. Tyler Eifert scores 3 touchdowns.
Right.
I'm expecting you to trade me Eifert back for this broken down running back who you can't use. Are you going to give him back to me?
That would be a problem.
Yeah, the answer is no.
Well, I mean, that's got to be part of the agreement that no matter what, but either way.
No, I think it's got to be part of the agreement that you don't have to trade back.
Well, it's not right to do it trade.
Now, so the correct thing to do is make the trade, and then if everything goes as planned, you can trade them back if you want to.
I think both owners should have the option to trade back if they want to, and if they don't have to.
How mad would you be if those two, if two teams did that? Oh wow, Heath with a was that a sneeze, Dave?
I think Hurricane Matthew is coming up through Heath's lungs.
What the heck happened to Heath Cummings? Heath, welcome back. What happened there?
Yeah, I couldn't even like prevent it or hide it or anything. It was
going to happen.
Like normally, I can do something to mask it, and that was just like an attack.
We had a Category 4 cough come up through Heath's lungs, up his esophagus, and yellow phlegm fly out of his mouth.
Okay, I will move on from this question. I am actually surprised at your answer that you guys are even considering it, because if this happened in one of our leagues where two owners traded two players and then traded them back the next week,
I don't know if people would necessarily notice, to be honest.
I would notice.
And then you'd cry foul? Even though it's a fair trade both ways?
Yeah, I would cry
foul. No one would be surprised by Adam crying.
No, nobody would be surprised at all. And here are your news and notes. Guys, this podcast used to be kind of a sanctuary for me. I'm just not having fun anymore.
Maybe you should stop doing Team Name Tuesday.
No, people love Team Name Tuesday or hate it. No, but Odell Beckham says he is not having fun playing football anymore.
So what does that mean? You think he's going to walk away?
Yeah, I think he's going to retire.
You think he's going to take a week off? Tell Coach McAdoo, you know, not feeling it this week, Coach. Sorry.
Well, he should have a big week this week.
He should.
The Packers have been so bad against number ones. Marvin Jones, obviously, the latest example. But yeah, I don't know. Long-term concerns about Beckham. Look, when I made the whole argument for him being, you know, legendary, he was an emotional guy, but his teammates never called him out. Over the last couple weeks, things have gotten so bad for him. And Eli Manning, like, never calls out his teammates. And I don't know. It's not like he's going to be horrible, but does his attitude concern you from a fantasy perspective?
The attitude could cost him opportunities, so that concerns me. But I'm even more concerned about the fact that he hasn't held up his end of the bargain. Dropped passes. Seems to be playing a little more sloppy than I would remember him being. I don't like this. I want my Odell from 2015 back.
You know, I think the thing is we've gotten a little bit spoiled. Because back in my day, all of the elite wide receivers were divas.
Yeah.
And now we've got Antonio Brown and AJ Green and these just normal number one wide receivers that are great at football and don't cause a scene everywhere else. And we're just not used to the diva behavior. But this is what number one wide receivers used to be.
Something is frustrating him, and it's bleeding onto the field. And until that stops, there could be some more rough games. But he's taking on a Packers defense. I don't care that they're coming off a bye. Yeah, the game script, I don't see how the game script doesn't help Odell Beckham get a lot of targets this week. And if he doesn't come through, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to cut him? No. You're going to trade him? You're not going to get anything for him. Your only option is to bench him. So maybe your move is to go and start looking at what's out there on the waiver wire wide receiver. Maybe find someone who could become something. But
how can you really do that?
Well, I was about to say, how could you even do that? Just finding another receiver when you've got Odell Beckham and you had these great expectations for him.
So here's the thing. Sorry, Heath. Sam Shields. Sam Shields is not expected to play this week. So that's why Beckham should have a big game.
Sure, and the Packers corners just haven't played well.
Yeah.
They've been terrible. Terrible, terrible this year against the slot. And so I just wonder if it's a big Sterling Shepard game.
Well, Beckham will line up in the slot sometimes, but you're right. And we're going to talk about that. I broke it down into good matchups and bad matchups. I also want to hear who you guys like and dislike this week. This will be a much different start or sit show. We're not going to break it down game by game. Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson expected to play this week as he is appealing his 10-game suspension for performance enhancing drugs. That's a really interesting game. Lions and Eagles, so more on that in a bit. Baltimore released Justin Forsett. Does this change anything? We've talked a lot about Ravens running backs so far this week. Does this change anything as they release Forsett?
Nope.
Okay. Arizona plays Chris Johnson and safety Tyvon Branch on IR. Does the David Johnson owner need to own Andre Ellington?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't think he's going to be good even if Johnson gets hurt.
Right. He might be for like a game, right. And then Ellington will get hurt.
What about Matt Forte? Is he injured? What happened? Matt Forte banged up? Bilal Powell, a hot waiver wire ad right now?
I think people are seeing Matt Forte struggle over the past couple of weeks, and they want to run and get Bilal Powell to have as a lottery ticket in case something happens to Forte or in case he gets benched.
Well, did he skip practice on Wednesday? But I don't really think that's...
We haven't had Wednesday yet. Wednesday.
Yeah. Maybe Tuesday then.
Probably.
But I think
everybody skips practice.
He's just old.
Yeah. He hasn't been effective the past couple of weeks. And I think there's going
to
be.
We're seeing more of the split that we expected to start the season than what happened the first 2 weeks.
Do you have the snap count?
I see that Pro Football Focus had tweeted out after playing 77% of the snaps in week 1 and 2, Forte's played 56% in week 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Which I think a 60-40 split makes a lot more sense than an 80-20 split.
Yeah. But Powell was a guy I think that we liked going into the season just for the possibility that Forte breaks down or isn't that good, or even that Powell just catches a lot of passes and he has caught, 10 in the last two games? 12
right.
In the last two games.
Yeah, he's been up there.
And he's only 40% owned. So Bilal Powell's still out there in a lot of leagues.
Decent stash candidate indeed. And I'll tell you right now, last week against the Seahawks in a game that the Jets were trailing, Powell had 52% of the snaps to Forte's 48%. So Powell actually played three more snaps than Matt Forte.
All right. Eric Decker, not sure of his week 5 status, but he is feeling better. Do you expect Eric Decker to play, guys?
Not as of now.
Nope.
Okay. And the Jets, They are home this week?
At Pittsburgh.
They're at Pittsburgh this week. That's right. Okay. Rob Gronkowski's hamstring is not right, according to NFL Network. Are you guys worried about Rob Gronkowski?
Yes. I was disappointed to see that report. I went back and I watched the game against Buffalo, and he didn't run a route until the second quarter. And then when he was running routes in the second quarter, it was like Frankenstein playing football. It was, you know, slow and plodding and left to right. And then in the second half, he actually looked a little more spry. So I don't know if he took a shot at halftime or if they just said, listen, you got to buck up. We're going to have to throw the ball. We're behind. You're going to have to run. He actually, there was a significant change in the third and fourth quarter with Gronkowski.
When I say I'm worried about him, I'm not like benching him. I'm just like, I'm not expecting him to be the number one tight end this week.
I agree.
Yeah. And
but
I,
he's still top five.
The case I made for him being a first round pick going, you know, if we were drafting today, I think you have to back off of that a little bit. Like if you want to trade for Gronkowski.
Is he even a second round pick now?
I would say so. I wish their bye were a little earlier so he could, you know, rest up. But that's what, in 4 weeks or something?
Yeah, it's week 9.
So, you know, I would say
Cleveland,
second
then Cincinnati,
pick.
Then at Pittsburgh, then at Buffalo. Three road games before that bye.
Now,
and
whatever.
Then they come off the bye to host the Seahawks.
Well, matchups don't really matter with him.
Usually.
When he's right.
Well, yeah.
I'm excited for the Patriots. They could just blow the doors off the Browns this week. And
the Browns have given them trouble, actually.
Yeah.
Past couple of times they've met. Yeah, they've won, but they've given them trouble.
The Browns have been plucky lately.
Yes,
when
they have.
You know, they fumble and they recover it, and unfortunately it goes to the other team. But
yeah, I mean, they have a defense that's just not very good.
Okay,
that'll probably mean everything.
More news and notes. Charles Sims missed practice. Also, he could have his workload reduced this week, Charles Sims. So is he a start or a sit in that Monday night game against Carolina?
I would try to get away from him in standard leagues, PPR leagues. I think they're talking about defining the roles for their running backs. And I think Dirt Cutter's come to the realization that Charles Sims, not a great and certainly not a consistent rusher.
I just don't think that's fair. He's played two games against extremely difficult competition.
Right. For whatever reason, I think they like Jacquizz Rodgers. Not that that's going to help fantasy owners, because I don't think anybody's going to trust Quiz.
The best news is, if you're a Doug Martin owner, Charles Sims is not taking Doug Martin.
Right. Maybe that's what all the discussion's about. It's just, you know, Charles Sims isn't going to have many more games with 15 carries like he did last week. A very Todd Gurley-esque 28 yards on 15 carries.
Yeah.
Whereas Quiz had 25 yards on 6 carries.
13 for 55 against the Rams, though, in week 3.
With a touchdown. And
that's
then
not
last
terrible.
Week, he only had 2 catches.
Faced Denver. So, yeah, Heath, I mean, we'll give him a little bit of a pass for Denver. But at Carolina this week, then the bye, and then hopefully you get Doug Martin in week 7. At San Francisco, which could be great without Navarro Bowman.
And maybe not Buckner either.
All right, Jerry Jones did not rule Dez Bryant out. Do you expect Dez Bryant?
No.
No, not at all.
All right, do you expect Rashad Jennings at Green Bay?
No.
No.
Kevin White at Indianapolis?
No.
Not as of now.
Doug Martin? No, right?
Nope. No.
Arian Foster against Tennessee?
No. Nope.
Not as of now.
Tyler Eifert at Dallas?
There's a chance. He's got a chance this week.
Eric Ebron against Philadelphia?
I would say Ebron has a good chance of playing.
I expect him.
Antonio Gates at Oakland?
No,
not as of now.
Ryan Matthews at Detroit?
Yes.
Let's do some rest of season rankings from our listeners before we get into this week's rankings. Matt Zemer wants to know, Demaryius Thomas or Brandon Marshall? Who do you like rest of season?
Demaryius.
I'll go Demaryius.
Man, the last couple weeks have really changed the outlook for the Denver wide receivers, huh?
It's the quarterback play. They've got great quarterback, and they have two of them now. You had Trevor Siemian against Cincinnati. Tough matchup. Threw 4 touchdowns, wasn't a perfect game for him, had a couple of passes that should have been picked off, but he also had some great deep balls, and that's going to shake things up. And then against Tampa Bay, he was on his way until he got hurt, and then Paxton Lynch came in and looked good. So they went from having Mark Sanchez and 2 other guys to the other guys looking better than Mark Sanchez and being potential starters for them.
Now, having said that, Brandon Marshall just got covered by Richard Sherman, and had 89 yards and a touchdown and 12 targets.
Not saying Marshall's bad.
Yeah.
You're asking
okay.
me Thomas versus Marshall.
All right. Marshall or Thomas it is. We'll see. Rest of season, Dez Bryant or Alshon Jeffrey?
Alshon.
I have him in a dead heat in my rankings. Dead heat. And I think you could say Alshon because he's healthier now, technically. Mm-hmm.
He does not have a hairline fracture somewhere in his body.
Yes.
But eventually he probably will get banged up.
Okay. Next one from Patrick. Crabtree or Cooper rest of season? Heath.
I'm absolutely going Cooper. And I was actually talking to somebody about this yesterday. And it has to do with Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, and Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper. And in both of those situations, Crabtree and Sanders have been the better option thus far through the season, but I would expect Thomas and Cooper to be better the rest of the way.
I think Crabtree's got another one of those sneaky matchups this week based on who they're playing.
Oh, it's not a bad matchup.
So I like Crabtree better this week.
Will they put Verrett on Crabtree or Cooper?
I know what I would do if I were them, which doesn't matter at all. I would move Verrett on Crabtree when they get in the red zone.
Right. And then maybe Cooper scored a touchdown.
He might. But Crabtree has three red zone targets,
right?
Caught all three of them, all for touchdowns. 3-3-3. Amari Cooper, two red zone targets, no catches, no touchdowns. I'm sad.
but you would take Cooper over him rest of the season? Over Crabtree?
It's very close, but yes.
So why don't you give me Jerick McKinnon for Crabtree?
I don't know if I need a receiver in that league. You know I'm in 13 leagues and I can't.
All right, well, take a look and then just hit accept. A couple more here. Michael Schmidt, PPR league. Who would you rather have rest of season, Todd Gurley or DeMarco Murray?
There's only two running backs I would definitively rather have than DeMarco Murray the rest of the year. It's David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. I'll take DeMarco.
You have to take DeMarco.
Wow. So
he's just been playing well. He's putting up numbers higher than anyone would have expected. And I liked him coming into the season. I thought he had a good chance to have a good year, but I put him at like 1,305.
I believe
he already has five touchdowns.
Biggest regular season riser. Has anybody improved their stock more than DeMarco Murray?
Melvin Gordon is the only other guy I can think of.
And
it's on the strength of touchdowns.
At running back, at least.
Well, I mean, who's higher at wide receiver?
Marvin Jones was so much farther behind him.
Yeah, because he was a sixth-round pick.
He's moved farther.
You know what? I have a feeling we should tell people to sell high on Marvin Jones. I'm very nervous that the book is out on how to beat Detroit.
This will be interesting this week because he's one of my favorite matchups in wide receiver versus defensive back. Because the defensive back he's facing for the Eagles has been one of the worst cover corners in football this year.
If they put Jalen Mills on him, which they might do with a safety over the top. And,
right.
You know, they're going to dare Stafford to throw into 7- and 8-man coverages.
Okay, guys. One more rest of season rankings question from Chris Moore. Melvin Gordon or Jamal Charles?
Charles.
Gordon.
Gordon has not actually been good so far this year. He's got a bunch of touchdowns. That's pretty much it.
But he's also catching the ball.
Yeah.
And he's playing now, and he's the only show in town in San Diego. And
that's
the offensive line's doing fine.
I don't think the offensive line's doing fine at all. I mean, he has had a dream setup over the last 3 weeks, and he's not averaged 3 yards per carry.
Well, he's not averaging 3 yards per carry in the last 3 weeks.
That's
probably true because he's averaged 2 yards per carry in his last two games. 35 carries for about 71 yards.
Against the Saints, 19 for 36.
Oh my
That's not even
goodness.
2 yards.
Terrible.
Against Indianapolis, 16 for 35.
Who else? But you know what?
CJ
Anderson also struggled against Indianapolis. So
right. But now against Jacksonville, he did have 24 for 102. That was a great game.
Yeah.
I'm just not confident. Like, if the touchdowns dry up, it could be really bad for Melvin Gordon. I don't think it will this week.
Yeah. So another great matchup for Gordon based on stats at Oakland this week.
Right.
Gordon is the number two running back in fantasy. He scored 13 or more fantasy points in standard leagues each week. He has 13 catches in his last three games, which coincides with the Woodhead injury. So that's great. And Oakland, they allow 5.1 yards per carry and the fifth most fantasy points to opposing running backs. So another, I mean, nobody can sit Melvin Gordon at this point, but if he struggles again, then.
Oh, I'd be trying to sell him now.
I'd still take him because I just feel like he's going to.
I do too.
Back his way into like top 7 production or something. Or close, top 10 at least.
I think he'll be top 7 for the season probably. I don't think he'll be top 7 for the rest of the way out.
Top 10 rest of the way out?
I don't know.
I think he can because of all the work he's getting. And I like the carries last 3 weeks. The average hasn't been there the last 2 weeks. Against Jacksonville, he had 102 on 24. Then 16 carries, then 19 carries. And how about what he's doing catching the ball? The
right.
last 3 weeks, 3 for 18, which isn't anything special. But after that, 4 for 43, and then 6 for 43. So remember, these are the first two games he's played without Danny Woodhead at all. and he's getting over 40 yards receiving. I think that's pretty darn good, and I think that'll help supplement his numbers and kind of pad him in to that top 12 area.
Two of his next three after this game are against the Broncos.
That's true. Denver, and then at Atlanta, and then at Denver. Yeah, it could be tough sledding. You could consider selling high on him, but I think you'd have to be loaded at running back.
Okay, guys, just about every day, I get at least one tweet from a listener that says, hey, what's that offer code for SeatGeek? Or something like, I just use SeatGeek. Thank you. I love stuff like that, guys. I love knowing that our listeners are taking advantage of great opportunities from our sponsors. SeatGeek is giving you $20 back after your first purchase with our offer code FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today, FFT. So if you need tickets to a game or a concert, please do what I do. Please use SeatGeek. It's better than other websites or apps. Download the app right now and just check it out. Search for an event. SeatGeek is going to do all the work for you. They search multiple ticket sites, find the tickets that you need, and then SeatGeek ranks the tickets based on value, so you're never going to miss a deal. You won't have to spend time searching for bargains. Of course, the best part, our listeners get $20 back after their first SeatGeek purchase, so download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. Time for start or sit. I did break down the Thursday night game because I'm still optimistic that we're going to be on the air on Friday, guys. Call me crazy.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Arizona at San Francisco. Let's do this a lot quicker than we usually do. Arizona beat the Niners by 40 at home and by 6 on the road. This game is in San Francisco. Last year, the Niners hosted Seattle on a Thursday night. They lost 20-3, and Marshawn Lynch had 27 carries, 102 yards, and a touchdown, and the Niners just played very poorly. So, David Johnson, is he your number one running back this week?
With a bullet,
okay.
Short week, favors running backs, great matchup, no Navarro Bowman, no DeForest Buckner.
There is a chance, Heath, that Carson Palmer plays. He hasn't been ruled out. What do you think?
I think it's a pretty low chance, but we should get a better idea today once practice is over and we'll see where he's at in the protocol. But I'm fully anticipating Drew Stanton's going to play, and that's going to be bad news for the Arizona wide receivers.
Yeah, you want to lay out scenarios with different or your starting strategies with different scenarios, rather. So let's say Palmer plays and Palmer doesn't play.
If Palmer doesn't play, I probably still can't sit Larry Fitzgerald. Just because I feel like the types of routes he runs or maybe the types that Drew Stanton could actually complete occasionally. So I'll probably still have Fitzgerald. Definitely in PPR I will. John Brown is kind of a flex-ish play, maybe a borderline flex play. If Palmer does play, you're starting both Fitzgerald and Brown, and Floyd becomes the flex-ish play.
Okay.
Flex-ish. I'm going to use that regularly now.
That's an interesting word.
I like it.
I like Brown. If I've got to pick one, that's the one I would go with.
Would you start Devontae Parker over a Cardinals wide receiver if Palmer misses the game?
I would start Devontae Parker over the Cardinals wide receivers not named Larry Fitzgerald.
Not me. Yeah, I got him behind him. I'm a Kenny Stills guy this week.
The hell, Dave? You rejected my trade offer?
Yeah, I don't need it. I don't need Michael Crabtree. I've got too many receivers as it is.
This is ridiculous. Okay, how about...
Give me a running back for Jerick McKinnon.
I don't want to give you a running back. I'll give you
Frank
Gore.
Then we have no deal.
Well, the whole point is that, all right. So how about the San Francisco side? I'm assuming the only one you're going to want to play would be Carlos Hyde?
Yep, correct.
How do you feel about Carlos Hyde?
I don't mind him.
Starting with confidence.
Yeah.
Really?
What else are you going to do? The guy's been playing well for most of the season. At home, short week, Arizona's on the road. I think just simplifying it, he's in line for 15 touches and should make the most of him.
My argument against him would be... actually very dependent on Carson Palmer, because I could see if Palmer plays, I could see this game getting out of hand. And like last year, no.
Have you seen
back.
Carson Palmer play the past?
Yeah,
couple
I
weeks?
Still have faith in them. But if the game's close, he's going to be great. If the game isn't close, then I don't know. He got a little lucky a couple weeks ago. What was it at Carolina? Yeah, he got those two late touchdowns, right?
That was
the good game he had. I forget the week three when he had the
week
two late
three
touchdowns.
Was Seattle. He had two touchdowns in the fourth.
Right. But it was kind of lucky. You know what? You're right. You're starting Carlos Hyde. But would you start Carlos Hyde over Melvin Gordon?
No.
Jordan Howard.
Also no.
It's close. Very close. Jordan Howard probably. Has the Colts. What?
Howard's. I like Howard's matchup.
Matt Forte.
I've got Hyde ahead of Forte.
Yep.
Okay. And that's it for this game. Garrett Celek. Dave actually has Garrett Celek 14th in standard, 13th in PPR. Heath, not quite there.
That's a kind way of saying it.
I'm a streamer.
He's in my rankings.
Not in PPR, he isn't.
Okay.
But yeah, he's 24th. He just made the cut in standard. Arizona's DST is third in third for Jamie, fifth for Dave, and second for Heath. And actually, the Niners DST, you know, 13th for Jamie, 10th for Heath. Dave, not as confident, has him 22nd. But Stanton is really not good, so you might get some turnovers.
Yeah, if you didn't use your waiver wire claim on a defense and you're looking for a streaming defense now that free agency has started, go get the Niners.
This was not a good week for streaming DSTs, in my opinion.
Drew Stanton is an excellent, excellent matchup for a streaming DST.
They're a bad defense, though.
He has a higher career interception rate than touchdown rate. He started 12 games in his career. His team scored more than 20 points three times.
Yeah. But overall, did you feel like there weren't that many great options on waivers?
The Bills are still only 50% owned, and they've been great for 2 weeks in a row.
I saw the Rams out there in a few
weeks. The Rams
too.
Were my shallow league option. They were right around 60% owned. So, no, I think it's a... I mean,
okay.
It's not going to be as good as it was the first couple of weeks because we don't have 16 games.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, Buffalo and the Rams are actually playing each other, so we're hoping for a low-scoring game there for the DSTs. So let's do start or sit. Why don't you guys fire away with some of the players you like? Now, full disclosure, we didn't really have time to chat about this, produce the show as I normally do, because things have been a little hectic because of the hurricane. And I have some things in the notes here that I can fall back on, but I want to give you guys the floor. Dave, why don't you start? Let's talk quarterbacks first. Who are some quarterbacks you like this week?
Let's start with Carson Wentz, who is slowly but surely moving up my rankings. He is now inside the top 10 at quarterback, taking on a Lions defense that just got owned by Brian Hoyer. And as long as Ziggy Ansah's out, and as long as that secondary continues to play poorly, I think Wentz is a fairly safe bet for fantasy. I really believe that he'll have a better game than Matthew Stafford in the same game. Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, and yes, I've even moved him ahead of Matt Ryan. I think Carson Wentz can have a better game, not by a lot, over Matt Ryan. I've got Ryan at 21 fantasy points and Wentz at 22.
I do have Wentz ahead of Winston and Ryan, but I've got him behind a couple of other guys that are probably streaming options as well this week. One would be Brian Hoyer. We've seen Brian Hoyer be pretty decent 2 weeks in a row. He's got a good matchup this week where he's going to be chasing the scoreboard. I like Hoyer to get more volume than Wentz does, and I think he has one more fantasy points. I also have Dalton and Cousins both ahead of Wentz. Cousins I'm a little uncomfortable with, and he may be sliding down. It's the Ravens defense and the Eagles defense are the two that at times have looked like pretty tough matchups this year that I don't really believe it.
I wouldn't believe it with Baltimore. I'm pretty convinced. They held
the Eagles only held
the Steelers 3 points.
They've only played three games, though.
I'm very convinced about the Eagles' run defense. I've been saying
that
since
the preseason.
And their front
line. Their defensive line is really, really good.
I think their front seven. They've really invested a lot in their front seven, and I think it's very solid. But you're right, Heath. I mean, I think we'll find out a little bit more about them this week. The Ravens, you know, again, I always reference this. I read Jason Lockenfora's training camp story on the Ravens, and one of the things he highlighted, in fact, I think this was the crux of the story, is that they expected their pass defense to be a lot better this year, partially because of Eric Weddle bringing him in, and partially because they just expected their guys to play a lot better, and they felt like they made improvements late in the season. I think that's what he said. So far, because I have Cousins listed as a quarterback with bad matchups, Baltimore, they've allowed the third fewest passing yards in the NFL. However, they have allowed the sixth most passing touchdowns, but they're second in yards per attempt. So they've faced Tyrod Taylor, Josh McCown, Blake Bortles, and Derek Carr, and Carr lit them up for 31 fantasy points, Heath. So Cousins is kind of tricky this week.
Yes, he's a guy that I've gone back and forth on. I've got him 10th right now. I could see ranking him anywhere from 9th to 15th. And I'm still working through that one.
I got him 16th.
So you guys,
that's
both,
way too low.
You both would start. Yeah, you both would start Hoyer over Cousins.
Yes,
and Carson Wentz over Cousins.
I would. Currently have Cousins over Wentz.
All right, so that's close. Now, what about Trevor Siemian if he plays? First of all, do you expect Trevor Siemian to play?
I ranked him, so as of now, I've got him playing.
Atlanta,
I've got him ranked, but not really as a starter.
But Atlanta's allowed 30 or more fantasy points to every quarterback they face. That's Winston, Carr, Breeze, and then the combination of Cam Newton and Derek Anderson.
Those are all better quarterbacks than Trevor Siemian.
But hasn't he done something in the last 2 weeks, or hasn't the Broncos passing game done something in the last 2 weeks that makes him maybe reconsider?
Already talked about it.
Yeah.
What they did against Cincinnati was an eye opener, and what they ended up doing as a combo platter against Tampa Bay was also impressive. And now they're back at home with the Broncos coming to their place. Matt Ryan's got a terrible track record against Wade Phillips' defenses. I would expect some turnovers. He's had at least two interceptions in both games he's played against Phillips' guys. And I think Siemian can help cash in, and those receivers are making great plays, and Atlanta's got one good corner. And I think Demaryius Thomas can even score on Trufant.
Yeah.
And I would imagine Desmond Trufant will be on Demaryius, which means Emmanuel Sanders could run wild. So listen, if you like Demaryius Thomas and you like Emmanuel Sanders, it's hard not to like Trevor Siemian.
It's interesting because I think it's a pretty easy, bold prediction to make. I love bold predictions because if they don't come true, nobody cares. But to say that Trevor Siemian will have a better game than Matt Ryan doesn't even... I don't know that I would actually do that, but...
Right, they're back-to-back in my rankings, 11th and 12th.
The volume is what could be the difference. Like, if Ryan throws 35 or 40 passes and Siemian throws 24, it's going to be tough for Siemian to be better than Ryan.
You know, Dave, you said you had
Depends on the interceptions.
You had Ryan for 21 fantasy points, you said, Dave?
Yeah.
Do you know how many quarterbacks in all of their home games last year scored
one.
20 fan... Yep, one.
Tom Brady.
Was the only quarterback. I think they played 10 home games last year, Denver, including the playoffs. Brady was the only quarterback to score 20 or more fantasy points.
And here's the last word on Ryan. If he hadn't looked like such a superstar through the first 4 weeks of the season, there's no way that we would rank him in the top 12 or even think about putting
him
in the top 12.
I think you're the only one that hasn't that idea.
Well, then that's me giving him a little bit of credit for what he's done and you guys almost turning a blind eye to what he's done. The offensive line's doing a much better job protecting him. He's finding other ways to move the chains. I know Julio had 300 yards last week, but he's still finding other guys, and I think he's going to continue to this week. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think it's a low ceiling, but not such a low floor. I think anywhere from 18 to 21 is in play. It's very tight, but I think that's where he'll end up.
It's just scary because Andrew Luck, Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston did not score more than 11 fantasy points against Denver.
Those guys haven't been anywhere as consistent as Matt Ryan.
It's true.
No one has.
Cam Newton scored 22 fantasy points, but he had 54 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown. So that's 11 fantasy points throwing. So they've all been around 11 fantasy points passing. It'll be interesting. If Matt Ryan performs this week, damn, that's going to be impressive. But also, Aqib Talib, assuming, I know the report came out that he shot himself, assuming he's not, during the offseason, assuming he's not suspended, things would change if he is. Maybe. Okay. Anything else with quarterbacks, guys? I'll throw some names at you. I think Philip Rivers looks like he is a good matchup, but I don't know how much I trust Philip Rivers. He's had two bad games, one great game, and one solid, like, top 12-ish type of game. That was last week. And Oakland's pass defense the last 2 weeks has gotten a lot better. Marcus Mariota scored 4 fantasy points, and Joe Flacco scored 23 fantasy points on 52 passes with a rushing touchdown. So Philip Rivers, I didn't know to put him in the good matchup or the bad matchup. What do you think about him?
I would still take him. I don't believe that this Ravens pass defense is great. Or Ravens. Chargers. Pass defense is great just because of what the Ravens were barely able to do and what the Titans passing game. Mariota totally disappointed in week 3 against Oakland, and he's pretty much been a disappointment all season long. Rivers is a real test for them. I think Amerson at corner is good. I think their pass rush is getting better, but it's not all the way there. I think Rivers is going to be okay. Top 5.
Quick transition here to wide receiver because you mentioned Amerson, and I said on Monday's show, something I heard on the broadcast, that Pro Football Focus had rated David Amerson, Oakland's cornerback, as the number one coverage cornerback in football going into week 4.
Right.
And like I said, I thought he did a pretty good job on Steve Smith until that big play where Smith just tossed him aside with a stiff arm and ran in for a long touchdown. But you look at number one wide receivers against Oakland, and they just kill Oakland. So I'm trying to look
because they line them up away from Amerson.
Right. Yeah. I actually am writing a piece today about the best and worst, or yeah, mostly the best, but also the worst matchup for outside wide receivers or slot receivers this week. And when you look at what San Diego does, it's going to be interesting because they play Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin about equal times on the right and left side. They played Inman almost completely in the slot.
I moved him up in my rankings. I think Inman's ahead of Tyrell last week.
I think Inman's probably the best Chargers wide receiver to start this week.
Over wow. Travis Benjamin? Because I think they'll put Travis Benjamin on Sean Smith. So what the Raiders play their corners typically on sides.
Right.
So they don't use Amerson to follow anybody around. So Amerson is always going to be on the quarterback's right side, and Sean Smith is going to be on the quarterback's left side. Right. And we've seen Benjamin line up both left side, right
side,
slot
50,
everywhere.
50 last week. Yeah.
And I think they're going to try and use Benjamin's speed, get him off the snap. Maybe it's a pick play. Maybe it's just a double move to try and burn Sean Smith. So I like Travis Benjamin the most, but I like Dontrell Inman second most. And it's not a reaction to his one big play last week. And he is very inconsistent. But it is a favorable matchup in the slot against DJ Hayden.
So your favorite San Diego wide receiver, whether that's Benjamin or Inman or Larry Fitzgerald this week?
Fitzgerald.
I believe I have a Chargers Cardinal sandwich where Fitzgerald is behind. Well, I'm looking. Maybe he's not. I do have Benjamin ahead.
Yeah, you have Benjamin.
I should know what I'm doing, right? I got Benjamin.
There's no way I would be able to remember all this stuff, so don't worry about it.
Well, I'm literally looking at it right now.
Well, that's worse.
It's embarrassing. Fitzgerald's barely ahead of Inman.
Okay, back to quarterbacks. We'll finish up with quarterbacks. Eli Manning at Green Bay. I think, you know, playing catch up. Green Bay's pass defense has been bad. Is Eli Manning a safe start this week?
I think you should roll with him. To me, you're not going to say fish or cut bait with Odell, but you might do it with Eli. If he goes into Green Bay and just looks lost, this could be the last chance he gets to be a starter for your team.
And I will ask you this, rank these three: Eli Manning, Carson Wentz, Philip Rivers.
Rivers, Eli, Wentz.
Yep.
Rivers, Eli, Wentz. Okay, bad matchups for quarterbacks. How about Matthew Stafford? Philadelphia allowing the fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. They have allowed a combined 19 fantasy points. Combined in three games. Two. RG3, Bears quarterbacks, and then whatever. And then Ben Roethlisberger. How do you feel about Stafford this week?
I'm a big believer.
Oh, okay. After, Dave, my bad.
sorry, Adam.
No, it's okay. My fault.
And Heath. After watching what the Bears did and how they game planned against Stafford last week, I think the Eagles will be able to do it and do it better. Jim Schwartz knows what he's going up against with Stafford. He drafted him when he was in Detroit. Now he's the defensive coordinator of the Eagles. I think I originally had Stafford in my top 12. He's not even in my top 18 anymore.
I still have Stafford 11th. Again, I'm not completely sold that this Eagles pass defense is anywhere close to as good as they've been through three games. They do it again against Stafford on the road. I'll start believing, but Stafford's a borderline start for me right there in the same group as Hoyer and Wentz.
Would you guys start Flacco or Stafford?
Flacco.
Stafford.
No, I'm sorry. I've got first of all, I have Stafford 17th, not 18th. Again, a rankings faux pas. And I do have Stafford out of Flacco.
Okay.
Maybe I should move Flacco.
I don't mind the matchup for
Flacco. I just said Flacco. Right. Maybe I should.
Do it.
Maybe this is a sign.
I have Flacco and Stafford both higher than Dave does. I've got Stafford 11th, Flacco 14th.
Flacco, here's the thing. Again, it happened with Flacco. He's just not playing that well. Like, we look at this matchup against the Raiders. Oh, he's got a great matchup. He didn't really do that well. He needed over 50 pass attempts and a rushing touchdown to get 23 fantasy points.
His offensive line wasn't in good shape. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
he's had good
matchups almost every single week, and he's done very little with it. So, he's done fine with it. He's done like 12th-ish with it. So, I don't know. I mean, like, he's just not playing that well. Am I wrong?
You are not. But it's also because of the line. I want to know if Ryan Kerrigan is going to play for Washington, because if he's out, that makes their pass rush even worse. Flacco will have a little bit more time.
Okay, we're going to move on to running backs now. First, though, you know what I love? I love food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Who doesn't?
Everybody loves food. You know what's even better than food? Free food. Yeah.
Now you're preaching to the choir.
There you go. Blue Apron's giving you three free meals if you sign up at blueapron.com/FFT. That's blueapron.com/FFT. I've told you all why I love Blue Apron. The food is great. I enjoy cooking now. The ingredients can't be beat. Everything's fresh. The animals are raised responsibly. The meals are creative and they're different. I'm eating things I've never had before. And it gets shipped right to my door. And I'm so lazy. So I love that. I don't even have to go to the grocery store. I hate going to the grocery store. You have to search for what you want. You have to try to find it. I always have to ask for help. And then I end up buying too much, which is really frustrating, and wasting food. That never happens with Blue Apron. Now, you want crispy chicken Milanese with warm Brussels sprouts, celery, and potato salad? Mm. How about roasted pork steam buns with black garlic mayonnaise and spicy cabbage slaw? Mm. Go to blueapron.com. Yeah, I like it. Go to blueapron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FFT. That's blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Heath, who are some of your favorite running backs in week 5?
Oh, we've talked about a lot of them. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, DeMarco Murray, Zeke, just the normal guys. The guys that have moved up in the rankings, though, I'll go with one that I think was the lowest on coming into the year, and now somehow I'm the highest on in week 5, and it's Jeremy Hill going up against the Dallas Cowboys, who I do not have a very good run defense. I'm not scared of this matchup. I know Hill is coming off of a terrible game. He's going to have games like that. He hasn't been great, but I don't think anybody should be surprised at all if Hill puts up 100 yards and a touchdown.
What about Giovanni Bernard?
He's in that borderline, probably flexish area for me.
Okay. Cowboys have allowed 2 touchdowns to running backs so far this season. No running back has had more than 75 rush yards against them. And that was Rashad Jennings back in week 1. What's the ceiling on Jeremy Hill?
100 yards and a touchdown.
Okay. And then the floor is obviously probably something like what we saw last week. It might even be lower than that, to be honest.
I'd say 60 and no touchdown.
Right. I think that that's the floor. I think if you look at him as a number 2 running back, I think you're okay. But I think that there's just so much uncertainty and a lot of dependency on him scoring. Touchdown dependent. We've talked about it with him before.
Oh God, I really want him to be more than just touchdown dependent.
I know he should be one of the best, but it's a sample size of what, like 20 games at this point.
Yeah,
but I look at like somebody like him and somebody like Latavius Murray. He's going to get 3 times the touches as Latavius Murray.
Do you know off the top of your head the longest run the Cowboys have allowed to a running back this year? I'm going to look it up.
I don't know, but they're not. Yeah, that would be pretty easy to find.
I'm going to look it up.
All right, well,
I'm going to bring this podcast to a screeching halt while I look it up here. I know what I'll do.
All right, and I'll ask a question. In a PPR league, would you start Theo Riddick against Philadelphia or Jeremy Hill against Dallas?
Jeremy Hill.
Okay. Hurricane
Dave, Cowboys are giving up 4.5 yards per carry, which is the 5th worst in the league, tied for the 5th. The longest run they've given up is a 36-yard run this year.
Okay, so they haven't given up a ton of huge runs. They've only given up 3 runs of 20-plus yards.
Their run defense ain't good, man.
But somehow they're limiting running backs, so there's got to be something to it.
They're limiting carries. They're giving up
68 over 4 games.
They're giving up 4.5 yards.
That's low.
That is very low.
They've only had the teams run 68 times against them.
Well, I think, I speculate that time of possession is a big part of that. It's, I know they dominated time of possession in week 1, and I'm almost positive that they did the same thing in week 4 against San Francisco. So, that does come into play. I know I have Jeremy Hill in 2 leagues, and I know I'm starting him. So, let's go Jeremy Hill. who else? Dave, how about you? Give me a running back you like this week.
How about Jerick McKinnon for another nice game at home against Houston? The Texans' run defense has not played well the past couple of weeks. You saw what LeGarrette Blount did in week 3 to them, and then DeMarco Murray last week. And I don't think they both had 2 touchdowns. I don't think Jerick McKinnon's getting 2.
They both also had 24 carries, 24 and 25.
So if you make it 17 carries for Jerick McKinnon, maybe he gives you 75 and 1, and he'll catch the ball a little bit too. I like him better than Jeremy Hill this week against Houston, whose defense, since this J.J. Watt stuff started, hasn't quite looked the same against the run.
I need to move McKinnon up in my rankings just a little bit. I won't move him ahead of Jeremy Hill. But
where do you have Hill?
I've got Hill 11th.
Wow.
How about Frank Gore or Jerick McKinnon?
I made that move yesterday. I went with McKinnon over Hill.
I've got Gore 12th, so I'll take him.
Mm. How about Jordan Howard? If we look at the Chicago-Indianapolis game, Jordan Howard is a good matchup. Colts have allowed fourth most fantasy points to opposing running backs. T.J. Yeldon just had his best game against the Colts. Now, they've been pretty bad in the passing game, defending receivers out of the backfield. Not sure if what we're going to get from Howard in that regard. But if you talk about Howard versus McKinnon or Howard versus Gore, how do you feel about Jordan Howard?
Looks like every running back with at least 12 touches against the Colts, and there's been one every week this season, has come up with a minimum of 11 fantasy points.
Okay.
I think that's the floor for Jordan Howard.
I've got it Gore, Howard, McKinnon.
Wow. I've got Howard ahead of everybody we've talked about so far in this little running back segment.
All of them are starts, though.
Yes.
So how many of them would you start over DeAndre Hopkins?
Many. DeAndre makes me very nervous this week.
He should.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I think he could have two fantasy points. I mean,
I don't know if it's going to be
But that's what Odell Beckham and Kelvin Benjamin have combined for against Minnesota the last 2 weeks. I would definitely bet the over, but no, you can't be surprised if a number one receiver gets completely shut down by Minnesota.
I'm going with all the running backs we've talked about ahead of DeAndre Hopkins in a non-PPR format. PPR, it'll change a little bit because I think Hopkins will get more targets. I think Houston's going to play from behind.
Okay.
So I would say he's ahead of a lot of those guys, actually.
Hey.
He's ahead of Gore for me, Hill, in a PPR. To me, by the way, just we'll talk about Hopkins later, maybe. I think this is about Brock Osweiler melting down than it is DeAndre Hopkins melting down.
Heath, where does Terrence West factor in? West is now 80% owned. He's facing the Redskins. Only the Saints allow more fantasy points to running backs than the Redskins. Five running backs so far have averaged five or more yards per carry against the Redskins with at least eight carries. So tell me how you feel about Terrence West.
He's another guy that when I look at my rankings, I think I should probably have him a little bit higher, but I do like him more than McKinnon, not as much as Howard or Gore. I don't think Terrence West is anything special at all, but we've seen time and time and time again this year, you don't have to be special to have a good game against the Washington Redskins.
You have to have the opportunity, and that's what he's got right now.
Yeah, he needs 20 carries, and he'll get 100 yards.
Terrence West or Carlos Hyde?
Hyde.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I think Terrence West does have top 12 potential. I don't have the heart to put him up there yet.
I think a more interesting one is Terrence West and Lamar Miller. I've got Miller above West, but I don't feel great about it.
I think I would take West, yeah.
I think I may need to move him ahead of Miller.
Yeah. Boy, those Vikings are tough. Now, other teams that are tough against running backs, Green Bay, they allow, this is not sustainable, but 43 rushing yards per game and 1.8 yards per carry. So
you know who they've played?
It might be sustainable for one more week.
Jacksonville, Minnesota, and Detroit. They've
right. So, and Minnesota was the game where Adrian Peterson got hurt. So they were a mess running the ball. So I don't think they've truly been tested. Guess what? I don't think they'll be tested this week either against the Giants.
And Detroit at Philadelphia. So the Packers and the Eagles allow the second fewest running back fantasy points to opposing running backs. So can you make a case for any Giants or Lions running back this week?
Riddick in PPR because you know what he can do. I don't want to trust Darkwa.
No.
Or Jennings if he plays, or Perkins if he plays, or any of those guys.
I mean, running back is really bad this week, especially once you get past like the top 22, 23. So you might be in a situation where you have to flex Darkwa, but in a PPR, I'd rather flex Fozzie or Chris Thompson.
Yeah. Bobby Rainey, by the way, just because I'm so desperate for running back, I just feel like the Giants could throw 45 times, which is exactly what they did against Minnesota, and Rainey had a good game. I am not saying he's a start. I'm just saying in a PPR league, if you're desperate.
You're just saying he's a Giant, so we should talk about him.
I'm saying anybody at the Packers, you know, a high-scoring game, I could see some catches there like he had against Minnesota. Would you rather start Theo Riddick or DeAndre Hopkins, PPR?
Hopkins.
Hopkins, okay. Theo Riddick or Chris Hogan?
Riddick.
I think Hogan's got more upside and is more fun. I'm going to say Chris Hogan.
Okay. Ryan Matthews has maybe a bad matchup. Did I get my voice get high enough there? Detroit has allowed the fifth fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. But you know what? They haven't allowed a rushing touchdown yet. They're giving up 4.8 yards per carry. and they've allowed 12 passing touchdowns, which is the second most in the NFL behind Atlanta, which is why we like Carson Wentz. But Ryan Matthews, I think the fantasy points allowed might be a little deceiving here with Detroit. How is his matchup this week?
I like Smallwood better, but part of it's just because I like the talent better. And I
don't know where we got off on Ryan Matthews doesn't have talent.
I
he
agree.
Does have talent, but I think Smallwood is a better running back.
I
think he's faster.
He
I think he's a better
reliable,
downhill runner.
Because he can stay healthy. Like Ryan
sure,
Matthews
that's
doesn't
definitely
have
a part of the issue, but doesn't that come into factor with the Eagles coaching staff too?
No, I think that's absolutely comes into factor with if you like Smallwood better because Ryan Matthews doesn't have the pain tolerance to play football. But
I think he tries to have the pain tolerance to play football, and he just doesn't have the body to
well,
necessarily
look, guys,
hold up.
I do apologize. Here's the thing. I need to speed it up. I want to get to as much as we can in the next 10 minutes because you
Smallwood
know,
is my favorite Eagles running back this
yeah,
week.
And I want to apologize to the listeners. I know this is just not an ideal situation. I just want to do the best we can to help you set your lineup, and I hopefully we'll have another show later on in the week. Now, Matt Jones, guys, is he a start this week? Baltimore, they've been pretty good. Third fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs. Last 2 weeks, they've been very good. What do you think, Matt Jones?
Borderline number two.
Agreed.
Matthews or Jones?
Jones.
I'll go Jones as well.
Jordan Matthews or Matt Jones?
Jordan Matthews. He's got a. Yes. He is one of the wide receivers that has one of the best matchups this week.
I'm going to give you four wide receivers that have bad matchups, in my opinion. Julio Jones at Denver. DeAndre Hopkins at Minnesota. Stephon Diggs against Houston. They've been pretty good. I mean, they gave up 100 yards to Alshon Jeffrey, but they haven't really faced great passing games, so I don't know about that one. But Diggs is four fantasy points on seven targets, two straight games. And then Terrell Pryor. New England, actually not statistically so great against wide receivers, but I do believe in their cornerbacks, so I think they could be tough for him. Julio, Hopkins, Diggs, and Pryor. Let's rank them and talk about them. Dave, rank those four.
Julio is number one. I've got Diggs next, and then Hopkins is toward the bottom of my top 24 with Terrell Pryor.
I've got them Julio, Hopkins, Diggs, Pryor.
There's a very good chance three of these four receivers could be downright terrible, and all four of them outside of 10 fantasy points.
The thing I like about Pryor, because like even if the matchups were good, Pryor's probably the guy that's ranked behind the other three. But I feel like because of the way the Browns are using him, he becomes a little bit less matchup dependent. Like, they don't have a choice but to get him the ball, especially yeah, when they're behind.
And the Patriots know it. What do the Patriots do?
Right, but it's not like they don't send Malcolm Butler inside. So he can line
How
up.
Often does Pryor go in the slot, though?
He doesn't do anything on a regular basis.
That's true. Right.
Are there any wide receivers that are not, obvious? Like Crabtree. Would you start Crabtree over Hopkins and Pryor?
Yes, yes. Steve Smith.
Okay, yeah.
DeSean Jackson, even with the bad stat lines lately.
Will Fuller.
Yeah, I would go with him.
Will Fuller.
I would not.
Will Fuller, I've got behind everybody. Yeah. Like, even Terrell Pryor.
Okay, against Minnesota.
Yeah, and I'm a little, frankly, I've got him 25th, and I'm worried that I've got him a little too high. But like running back, I think things get a little hairy at wide receiver. Honestly, once you get to that 24th spot.
What about like Randall Cobb or these guys, Hopkins, Diggs? How do you feel about Cobb?
I got Cobb behind them, too. The one thing I'll say about Cobb, this is the put-up or shut-up week for Cobb, where if he comes out of the bye and nothing's doing, they're not using him, they're not giving him the fresh opportunities, then I'm cutting him.
Okay.
I can't. Or at the most, I'm benching him and saving him for bye week replacement duty, and that's it.
I do want to correct one thing. So far, Terrell Pryor has not gone inside hardly at all.
Right.
140 of his 157 routes have come lined up out wide.
So what I'm thinking is that Belichick is going to try and take Pryor away first and just lean on the defensive front to try and slow down Crowell.
Now he did score a touchdown last week against Josh Norman, so that's cool.
Yeah,
Pryor.
He had 10 fantasy points.
Yeah.
Not quite a monster game like you would expect from someone who had that much hype. He was good if you started Terrell Pryor, and I did in a couple of leagues. Very happy with the numbers, but I don't know if you can expect a lot more than that, if that. I feel like 11 or 12 could be a ceiling.
Who are some wide receivers you're excited about this week that are not obvious starts?
We're slowing down here.
Steve
huh?
Smith has got to be one, right?
Because I already said his name, I didn't want to say it again, but Steve Smith, Michael Crabtree,
Julian
Travis
Edelman's
Benjamin.
Back.
Oh, yeah. Edelman, Hogan. How do you feel about that?
Edelman, theoretically, they should be fine.
Yeah. Edelman's a borderline number two in standard leagues for me, and Hogan is whatever.
Well, Cleveland.
Flex, shot in the dark flex.
Cleveland has allowed multiple touchdowns to wide receivers in 3 of 4 games. I don't know how they pulled it off last week. Well, Cousins only threw like 27 passes last week or something. Yeah, exactly that. So, that's why I love DeSean Jackson. They do had a terrible pass defense going into last week.
I got some sleepers.
Yeah.
Doriel Green Beckham. Coming out of the bye, been getting lots of playing time already, and this is a Lions defense. Maybe he ends up getting Darius Slay more often than not, in which case I wouldn't love him. But just as a red zone target for Carson Wentz, I wonder if he comes out and he does something. Sammy Coates against the Jets. The Jets have been burned by the deep ball plenty this season. And I think Coates can end up being Coates I might actually move up quite a bit in my rankings. I've got him 39th, and I might move him up. I really think he's worth owning again.
Do you like Jesse James this week? Because, gosh, they have been terrible against
He might be good for 8 fantasy points.
Okay. I don't like Kenny Stills at all, but he has the best matchup that any receiver can ever hope to have this week with Parrish Cox.
Do you agree with me that Devontae Parker might lose the opportunity for now to Kenny Stills, and that the Dolphins look at Kenny Stills as a playmaker that can help them stretch defenses, whereas Parker just hasn't been able to do it?
I think Parker is so, and maybe it's just my bias, but, and I'm not a huge Devontae Parker guy, but when I watch the two of them play, it is so obvious that Devontae Parker is the much more talented player, that I think Kenny Stills is once again getting cast into that one trick pony role where they believe that he can go get the deep ball, but they are not trusting him to do anything else.
Yeah, that might be the case.
If that's the role, then I have Stills ranked way too high.
But you can go get the deep ball against Parrish Cox. He is more than accommodating.
Is there any scenario in which you could sit Julio Jones?
No.
How loaded do you have to be at wide receiver? Is that what you're basically asking?
Yeah, well, look.
How many first-round picks did you have?
Green and Jordy Nelson.
I want to talk about the last three wide receivers who have faced Denver. T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, Mike Evans. In standard scoring leagues, they've scored 4, 7, and 5 fantasy points. In PPR leagues, Green was really the only one who had a good game. I think he had about 16 fantasy points.
We've talked many times on this podcast about how A.J. Green doesn't belong in the elite tier of wide receivers, so if he can do that, then Julio Jones should do even better.
He should, but look, I mean,
think he's elite.
People gave me a hard time because I made the case to sit Julio Jones against Josh Norman, because Norman had a very good history against Julio Jones, and twice last year, he did a good job. If you started Jones that week, it's not like he completely killed your fantasy team. And I don't know. I think it's realistic to say he might score about 7 fantasy points against
Denver. Also realistic to say he might score 20.
He might.
Because it's Julio Jones, and clearly the Falcons are going to take shots with him, and the volume of targets will be there.
What do you? It's only been there once this year. I would expect it to be, but it's
there was
only
one
been there
game
once.
Where he was banged up, and how many targets did he end up having against New Orleans?
Yeah, I don't know, but he had 20. He had like 22 targets in his first three games.
Yeah, 20. He had actually 20 targets in his first three games, but he's also had a touchdown or 100 yards.
Yeah.
Or
both. He's awesome. But this is definitely his toughest matchup.
I don't think he's getting 300 yards. I'll go out on a limb. I'll even go out on a limb and say he's not even going to get 200 yards.
I know nobody's sitting Julio Jones, but
it's very difficult.
I wouldn't start him in daily. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay. 1 minute left. Give me 2 tight ends you like, 2 tight ends you don't. Go.
Ertz and Miller.
Who's Miller?
Miller. Zach Attack Miller of the Chicago Bears.
Miller or Brait? Miller or Brait?
Miller.
Okay. Brait's got a nice matchup too, though, right?
Yeah, I was going to say Brait against Carolina. The Panthers just have been bad against tight ends. And the game, Hunter Henry, double H, against Oakland.
And I dislike Dwayne Allen, and Martellus Bennett's not going to keep this up.
I do have Bennett in my top 10.
Why?
Jamie does too.
Bottom at bottom 10.
So you just don't think that Gronkowski is going to do much this week?
I got Gronkowski third.
So how can they have two? Wow.
I've got Brady ranked third among quarterbacks. I think he has a huge week.
All right,
and he might move to second depending on what happens with Cameron Newton.
Starter sit Eric Ebron against the Eagles.
I would try and sit him if you can. He's in my top 12, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably start him, but if Hunter Henry or Zach Miller is still on the waiver wire, go get them.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the last chance saloon for Eric Ebron.
Listeners, thank you for understanding our situation. I wish I had time to read more emails. We're all going to be in South Florida this week, so, you know, pending internet access, we are happy to answer your questions on Twitter. I'll try to respond to the emails. So that's it for today's show. I doubt we're going to have a show Thursday. I'm going to say we're going to be on the air Friday, but if we're not, you know why. So for Heath and Dave, thank you guys. I appreciate it, putting in the extra hours. Yeah. Stay safe out there, everybody. For Dave and Heath, I'm Adam. That's it.